From Tralee to the Blaskets, from Lixnaw to Kilgarvan, your voice in the kingdom, Radio Kerry. In conversation with Rishi Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Very welcome to the programme with Rishi Fogarty with you as usual for the next hour. And as this programme is pre-recorded, we won't be accepting any phone calls. So, tonight I'm talking to a man who, if you like, has set a sporting record in his own right. He's the only man in the world to have won an AFL medal out in Australia, came home, won an All-Ireland football medal. He's Ty Kennelly. I'm delighted that he's joining me in the studio to talk about his new book, A Superb Read on Finnish Business. I've been reading it all the week, naturally enough. You can't interview a man about a book unless you've read it. Ty, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me, Rishi. It's great to be here.
Did you ever interview a fellow without reading? You did a lot of work out in Australia, like a television work and radio work, Ty.
Yeah, I did. I enjoy it. Look, and obviously you have to do your research, I suppose. You got to make sure you know what you're talking about too. And I'm sure you've read it, Rishi, you know, unless you have some researchers actually doing the work for you.
Because I haven't, Ty. I have nobody like that. Come here. The last time you sat inside in this studio with me, I know it was 2 or 3 years ago, you were home on holidays and there was a television crew following you around. We had 2 hours of television inside here. They were making a documentary, is that right?
That's right. They made a documentary. It was just after we won the premiership over in Australia 2005. It was Tiffany Cherry. There was a crew from Fox Sports over in Australia, and they actually asked, would they release the actual piece in Ireland? But what happened was, probably obviously 6 weeks later, Dad died, and the piece had a lot of it about Dad. So I said, look, I didn't want to release it in Ireland. So it's on the internet, all right, but it's a lovely, lovely piece, and it's something I will, down the line, release the documentary to TV in Ireland.
Yeah, listen, to be lovely to see, Ty. How long is it?
It's about an hour.
Lovely to see that. And then previous to that, you were in here with me a few years previous when Tim Latimerston was alive. You came in with Noel and with your father. Gee, we had a great hour.
We did, and I copped a lot of slack for not having an All-Ireland medal that time, you know. So
you did, yeah.
I'd love if he was here beside me, you know, himself and Noel.
Congratulations on your All-Ireland medal. Anyway, come here, why the book, Ty? Did the book come around just very fast, or had you intended to do it?
Yeah, look, I'd always intended of doing a book, I suppose, with the unique story that was there in spending so long in Australia and spending so long in a game that was totally different to myself growing up, obviously, Gaelic football, and going over to a country at 17, 18 years of age. And there's a lot of kids in Ireland, especially now, that are doing it, and there's a lot of pros and cons about it. And I wanted to get that across to young people, especially, that are going over to Ireland, you know, or over to Australia, sorry. You're promised the world when you go over there and you don't get it as a 17, 18-year-old. And people got to be very, very careful, and parents as well, I suppose, leaving their children going to professional games, because there is a lot of pros, there's a lot of cons as well. And that was probably my main reason. But then obviously with coming back and playing with Kerry, I said, look, it's going to be a great story. And if I managed to win in All-Ireland, it'd be even better. And that's when that happened, you know, we went all ahead and said, let's get it done. And it was rushed in the end, but I'm very happy with it. The unique story, I suppose, is fantastic for myself to be able to portray both sides of the game in Ireland and Australia at the top level.
It is indeed, Tyke. And while all the media attention was given to that piece we'll be discussing about Nicholas Murphy later on, the thing about it is there's a lot more in it. The one thing that I enjoyed most of all, well, whether I enjoyed it or not, I don't know. In 2002... I met you at a Spa football field. Listo Lemons were playing Spa. And I said to you, are you playing tonight? You said, no, your dad was with you. You said, I have my boots in my car. I was told not to play. I'm training with Kerry. In the book, you have a whole chapter about 2002. Explain to our listeners about what happened that time, because I maintain, Tyke, and I'm not just saying this because you're here, I maintain if you had been on the panel, Kerry would probably have won that All-Ireland. Explain what's in the book.
Yeah, look, 2002, I suppose, was the year I'd finished early with the Swans. We hadn't made the finals, so I was able to come home early in 2000, as in the end of August. And Kerry had just qualified for the All-Ireland final, and we were playing the under-21s. And Jack was on to me about would I be back to play for the Kerry under-21s. I said, look, I'll throw my name back. I'll be back. Probably was it a week before we played Galway in All-Ireland semi-final, and Jack managed to put me on the panel. We played them in Innes.
How was that?
And we lost we lost by a few points, but I managed to do okay. And then Paddy and a couple of the guys, Jono was a selector as well, and rang me up and said, look, do you want to come in and give us a hand with training, just to throw something different mainly to the Kerry boys. And and I was quite happy to do it. You know, I never once thought at that stage that I'd be a chance of playing in All-Ireland or be part of the squad. But then I started playing away, training away, and I suppose I started listening to other people. You know, your chance of winning All-Ireland medal, you're actually doing well in training and all this kind of. And to my own, it was my own fault really for listening to those people, because all I really wanted to do at the time was throw something different to a Kerry team that never would have had played against me inside in training. I was very hungry, I was very excited, I was buzzing around the place. You know, four weeks before an All-Ireland final, it was something that I really wanted to get in there and show the players. Then I started listening to people, and I started getting a bit of hope about it myself, thinking, oh, hang on a second, I might be a chance here, I might be a chance. And to my own detriment, you know, like I said, I listened to other people when I shouldn't have. And looking back, I'm very, very happy that I didn't. I know Kerry lost the All-Ireland final, and I vividly remember Owen Brosnan kicking a ball, and it was sailing, and so this is over, it's a draw. And I was thinking, well, I might have a chance, I might be in the panel next week if it goes over, and it sailed wide. And I remember at the time thinking, oh, well, that's it, you know. But looking back, definitely think it was the right thing. I suppose the only thing about it was that my hopes were built up, I suppose, and I was 20 years of age at the time, you know, my hopes were built up. And the one thing about the whole lot, 6 weeks later, not even, we played the international rules, and I roomed with Kieran McGeaney. And Kieran said to me, he goes, I was just very worried at half time when I come back out that you'd be on the 40. And that kind of got me going again, as in not.
Your father, I remember meeting him after Tig. Your father, Tim, wasn't too happy with it, and were not too happy with the selectors of you not being picked.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's a very tricky decision for them. Do you know, do you drop a player to come back? Do you drop a player for a player that's after coming back from the other side of the world?
If Kerry want to win the All-Ireland, they do that.
Well, it's fair enough saying in hindsight, no, it's a brave man to make a decision like that, you know, if Kerry don't win the All-Ireland, I suppose. But like anything in any decision in life, I think you have to go with your gut decision. And I suppose even talking to PR, to Paddy Shea about it now, you know, and he's often said to me, you know, he talked to Mick O'Dwyer about it at the time, but what would he do? And Mick was always a case of, well, go with your gut. And Pio's talked to me. I don't think I went with my gut decision that time, and that's fine, you know. Look, he explained the whole lot to me, and I'll never ever hold anything against a man like Paddy.
Did you find out, was it Paddy Shea's decision, or were all the selectors against it? Was it unanimous?
No, Paddy just told me himself that he just didn't go with the decision, you know what I mean, that it was his gut, and that probably he should have went for it. But like I said to you, I'll never hold it against Paddy, because it's a brave, brave man to make a decision like that if it doesn't come off.
Talking about decisions in All-Ireland finals and in relation to All-Ireland finals, most people that were at the game, including myself that day, were very surprised that you were taken off with some time to go. Even though, correct me if I'm wrong, you said afterwards that you had ran out of steam. Now, I couldn't believe that, a professional footballer running out of steam in Croke Park about everyone else. But in the book, you describe in the book how unhappy you were with Jack Connor over taking you off. A very frank admission.
Yeah, look, at the time, you know, I'd felt that I had Graham Canty beaten well, and I'd felt that now was the time that I was going to really cash in on it with the bones of what, 19, 18 minutes to go in the game. The game had opened up drastically, and on many occasions I looked inside and all you had was a Gooch and Tommy Welch. The whole half forward line was cleared out because players were going down deeper and deeper because they were getting tired. The wings were very open. I felt I had him, and I just remember looking over and seeing my number on the thing, and I just couldn't believe it. And I'd said it in the book, effing hell, you know, I can't believe this. And I ran off, you know, and I was a bit upset, and I was sitting down, and you know, I couldn't get my head around it. And then Dara came off, and Dara sitting beside me, and we were both just roaring and shouting. We were right into the game. And then afterwards, you know, I got caught with an interview after the game, which I was quite emotional about as well. And look, it wasn't a time to talk about it, and I wanted to brush it away because I was after winning All-Ireland. I didn't want to talk about being taken off. I was extremely happy about winning All-Ireland medal, and that's why I'd said that at the time, because I wanted to wash it away. You know, I didn't want anyone to take anything away from winning an All-Ireland medal. I said it in the book, you know, because, like I said to you, I was disappointed because of the fact that I thought I had him beat personally, and I thought that I was going to go to town on Graham Canty at that time. And you know, when you have a player beaten, I mean, there's so much space, that I thought that I had him done. And
I remember remarking on the commentary with Radio Kerry that day that when I saw him coming off, I said, as a matter of fact, I thought he was in the running for man of the match. So did you have a few words with Jack about it?
I did. Look, I talked to Jack on the Tuesday in Glenbey, but we didn't really sit down and talk about it about a week later, really, you know what I mean, after celebrations had settled down a bit. But I suppose his decision justified himself in a way that Dunnicky came on and set up a couple of points as well. And the whole year we played like that, you know, on and off. But I was just disappointed, obviously, that I felt that I didn't warrant one of the forwards to be brought off at the time. And that was my situation with him. And I said, look, Jack, if I was playing well, if I was playing poor, I'd quite happily, no problem, be taken off. You know,
in
what I mean?
Fairness to Jack O'Connell, he doesn't make many wrong decisions. He's ruthless, and you have to be ruthless to win All Ireland's.
Very good.
Ty, we're going for a break. You're signing in the Killarney Bookshop next Friday at 1 o'clock.
I am indeed, Jack.
Everyone come along, bring your camera, and bring your kid. And bring your jersey to be autographed, and you're in Easton's in Blanchardstown in Dublin on Saturday the 7th at 1 o'clock. And you're at home then in Wolfson Listowel Wednesday at 11 o'clock, at 4 o'clock. Wednesday the 11th at 4 o'clock, you're in Wolfson Listowel. So if you want to meet Ty Kennelly in person, get your book signed, bring along your camera. Killarney, Friday, Easton's Saturday, Wolfs the 11th. We're going for a short break. When we come back, we have lots more to speak about. You're very welcome back to the programme. I'm talking to Ty Kennelly about his new book, Unfinished Business. By the way, next Wednesday night, Alice Taylor, that wonderful author, she'll be with me. She'll be talking about her new book, The Journey. It's all of beautiful poems. That's next Wednesday night. But, and of course, Ty Kennelly in the Killarney Bookshop on Friday at the 6th at 1 o'clock to sign those books. Ty, staying with other aspects of the book, you were very embarrassed with the International Rules series. Mm-hmm. And you explain it, and it was a hard thing for you to write in a book that a lot of it is guided for Australian readers. Talk to us about why you were so embarrassed and upset.
Yeah, look, it was, and I was quite open and candid about it, because playing over in Australia for so long, you know, you have physically strong and physically intimidating players, and that's quite acceptable, you know what I mean? As you have here, you've got big men to play the game hard, and that's fine. But I found in the international rules that year was that the players that weren't physically intimidating or physically strong over in Australia were trying to be intimidating and trying to physically impose themselves in a game in international rules where normally they'd be the first one to run out the gate if there was any contact, you know what I mean? And it really irritated me that players were trying to bully Gaelic footballers in a way that they should never have, especially when it wasn't their type of football. If it was a hard man and he was playing his hard game, I'd no problem with that, but especially the players that weren't like that. And I was very, very embarrassed by it, and I said it numerous times, and I did cop a lot of criticism about it at the time when I went back to Australia. I heard a lot about it, you know, for saying those words, but it was the truth, because I felt that those players were trying to intimidate them when they weren't intimidating players.
You were under no illusion where all the Australian players were trying to bully the Irish players.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that they tried to intimidate us physically that time. And like I said to you, I had no problem with a player that does it all day, every day in Australia. But the players that generally you'd call soft in Australia, they were trying to do it. And it really irritated me and made me, I felt very embarrassed about being involved in a game that I had been involved with for so long over there.
Did you have any crosswords with the players when you went back to Australia?
I had. I didn't talk to a teammate for the bones of 6 months. He's a good friend of mine, and I didn't talk to him for the bones of a few months, you know, because I was embarrassed by it, and you know, I didn't want to have a piece of him with it, and it was hard, I suppose, being the same dressing room with a player like that.
Yeah. When you came back to win your All-Ireland medal, and it's well known that you did, a lot of people would say it, like how you had left Australian rules football and you were earning money out there. But I didn't realise till I read in the book that you were on huge money, Tyke. You were buying luxurious houses, you had big cars, and you left a massive, and all this is in the book. Give our listeners an idea of the lucrative contract and the lucrative lifestyle that you left behind you to win an All-Ireland medal.
Yeah, I will, of course. Look, at starting off, it wasn't too lucrative. And I think that's what people got to be very, very careful of with, you know, Tommy Welch going out at the moment. You know, he's going out to a contract with probably, what, 30,000 a year. For the first 2 years, 30,000 a year. And it's very, very difficult over there. But once you start playing senior football and once you start making yourself as a name, and I think the big thing about me over there was that I was unique, that I was an Irish player in a game that there was no other Irish players playing at the time, because, so I became very marketable for the club as well. And I was in the bonds of, when you start playing regular football at 24, 25, 26, 27, like I was in bonds of $500,000 a year. And that was just a base contract. So I was getting that, whether I was injured, not playing, whether I was dropped, whatnot. And that was the way it was. And, look, it's a fantastic lifestyle over there. I was in a lifestyle where I was a son living in Bondi, in a house in Bondi, where the weather was fantastic. I'll portray it that it's a fantastic lifestyle. There is a lot of pressure on it. There is a lot of pressure of being involved in an industry which is very money-driven. It's very much a business. The clubs are very much business-orientated. The players are just an investment. You know, you're not seen, I suppose, as a person in a way that you're an investment. We're going to get the most out of him. And when he's done,
would you be? You'd be one of the top earners in the sport in Australia. I mean, you're one of the top players in Australian rules football. What would your top earnings be?
But for my best year, probably in the following year after the, including endorsements and everything, you're talking about 750,000. So it's huge money. Yes, it is, and it's part. I suppose it was part. It never came into my decision to come back, because deep down, I knew I always wanted to come back and win an All-Ireland medal, or try and win an All-Ireland medal. And look, people say, you know, you're going to go back now because you've won an All-Ireland medal. I came back to try and win an All-Ireland medal. If I didn't win one, I was going to keep going until I won one. And it never came into the money never came into it. And yes, it's a lot to leave behind. But I was never on my family and never money oriented people. And I think the first time I ever went out there was to learn experience of being a professional athlete. It wasn't to go over there to make money, and I think that's why I actually made it in the long term, was because I never went out there to make money. I went out there, first of all, to better myself as a Gaelic footballer and be a professional, learn about a diet, my weight, and come back, be a better Gaelic footballer after 2 years. And I never actually worried about money at the time.
Yeah, but reading the book, Tadhg, and if we haven't time to be going into it all, you had a tough, you got terrible injuries, and you were transferred to hospital in various bits. It was a tough, tough life. And of course, that brings me straight on to the fact now is, are you going back to Australia? Are you going to leave Kerry? And are you going back to pick up your contracts? And are you injury free?
Yeah, I've got a couple of weeks to decide now, Wishy, about what I'm doing with my future. I'm in a very difficult place at the moment.
Why?
Thinking about it. Because it's a lifestyle decision too, Wishy. You know, I'm going over, I suppose, to a lifestyle where I get up in the morning, kick a ball around all day, every day, fine weather, and you're getting paid for it. Again, towards, do I want to stay and win more All-Irelands, hopefully, you know? And that's probably the main situation that I'm in at the moment. It's something, look,
if you were a betting man, if you were asking me the question,
I'd go 50-50, Wishy.
You'd go 50-50.
At the moment.
Are you serious with that now, Tadhg? Is that
yeah,
what it is?
Yeah, it's God honest truth. You know, that's where I'm at the moment.
Are you being pulled? Are the Kerry County Board pulling you to stay here?
They are. Look, I'm talking. I'm talking with Jack, and I'm talking with the clubs over in Australia as well. Yeah. So I'm kind of getting pulled over at the moment. I think what I need is probably get a week away somewhere by myself and have a good think about it.
Yeah.
It's going to be as hard a decision I made when I left in the first stage at 18 years of age. You know, putting down on a piece of paper the pros of staying, the cons of staying, and vice versa for going back to Australia. You know.
Yeah. Again, Tadhg, and we'll be talking about that other incident later. But there's so much in the book. You were taken very seriously ill in Australia. You suffered from meningitis. I hadn't known that until I read it. And you actually were in danger of dying.
Yeah. Look, I got a knee injury about probably 3 weeks. I dislocated my knee and ripped my medial ligament off the inside of my knee. And I destroyed the knee, basically, and they taught me you have two options. You can go for surgery and miss the rest of the year, or you can leave it be and let it recover after probably 6 weeks. You probably play after 12 weeks. So I said I'd try the latter because I didn't want to miss the season. And eventually the team started losing a few games. through those 3 weeks, we lost three weeks in a row, and I just started coming back jogging. And I think with a lot of injuries, when you're out of a team and you're watching, you just want to play, you just want to be there for your teammates. And it's nothing about the individual itself, I think. And you ask any injured players on the road, I just want to contribute some bit to the team. And when the team was losing the way they were, I just wanted to be part of it. I wanted to get back. And I remember on the Wednesday, I started jogging and I started kind of getting warmed up and I started pumping myself up, saying, look, I'm ready to go. You know, I got to give me a chance. So they gave me a test on the Friday morning. We're playing on the Sunday, and I remember at Sunday morning the doctor said, well, if you wake up Sunday morning, see how you're feeling, give me a call. So I woke up Sunday morning and I ran around basically the street, and I called into the local corner shop getting some milk, and he was there, well, Hortings, what are you doing wearing your gear? I said, oh, I've just decided right now I'm going to play the game this evening, because I ran around and I was fine. And the injury part of it took its toll on me, because that game I played, and I put everything I had into playing that game. I played the game, and then I started getting very, very ill the Tuesday night after the game, and there was no one in the house, and I was on my own, and I was very, very hot, and I didn't want to ring the doctor, because I thought, oh, look, I've only got the flu or something, you know, I'll ring him in the morning. And it was an extremely long, long night, and I ended up ringing him in the morning about 6 o'clock. I said, look, I've got savage headaches, I'm sweating, I couldn't drink, I couldn't eat, and he said, come over to the clinic in the morning. So I went over to his clinic, I drove over, and I remember the speed bumps and everything. I was wearing sunglasses because the light was just killing me, and called into his clinic, and he looked at me straight away, and he started seeing rashes on me, and he goes, oh, you've got meningitis. If we don't get it in the next 12 hours, you could die. And that's when the whole situation actually, I mean, oh my God, this is serious. So went into the hospital, and they basically put me into an incubation, and kept me away from everyone. And I knew how serious it was when they all came in masks and everything, and they gave me a lumbar puncture and took fluid from my spine, from my brain.
When they talk about lumbar punctures, things are serious.
Yeah, it was brain. I was very, very scared, because I was very, very lonely at the time, and I was on my own. I felt there was no one there that actually could help me and get me out of there. And I told the club, I remember, when I just kind of came around, don't actually tell my mother, don't tell anyone, because there's nothing she can do about it over there. And she had Phil Mullins, the player welfare manager at the club, had a missed call from an Irish phone number, but he had friends here and he thought it was my mother. So he rang her back and told her the whole lot. So I kind of lost the rag when I found out about that. But
Much More is an unfinished business with Ty Kennelly, and I can tell you there's a lot in it. He's signing the Killarney Bookshop Friday the 6th at 1 o'clock. That's next Friday, Ty, isn't it?
Yep.
Next Friday at 1 o'clock. And then he's at home in Woolstonlistow, Wednesday the 11th at 4. Come along, bring along your kid, bring along your camera, and bring your jersey to be signed, or your cap, because Ty, you always wear one of these caps, one of these P caps.
Got to cover the bald spot, wish you.
Yeah. We're going for a short break. When we come back, we'll have more to talk about with Ty Kennelly.
Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the programme. I'm talking to Ty Kennelly about his new book, Unfinished Business. I can tell you, go out and buy it. It's a tremendous read, and there's stuff in it. You'll be hearing a lot about stuff, but there's some great stories from Australia and from Listowel and from all over with it. Ty, of course, the book is more well known for the remarks that you wrote in it about Nicholas Murphy. You said, after a few strides, I knew I timed it right. Cork's Nicholas Murphy had just turned slightly towards me, which opened away from my shoulder to catch him perfectly in the chin. Cop that, it's different this time, by Joe said. He went down hard, and referee Marty Duffy immediately blew his whistle, and I said, come on, that's not even a free kick. Ty, are you sorry that you wrote what you did? Did you deliberately mean to hit him? And have you kept quite too long about it?
Yeah, look, I think we should. The major thing was, I was probably too honest in a way, that I wanted to express what it felt like to play in an All-Ireland final, to build up the emotion that was inside me. You know, prior to the throw-in, I was like, do you know what I mean? The eyes were rolling in the back of my head. It's probably too honest of an actual explanation of what I was feeling before the start of the game. I never intentionally ever in my life went off to hurt any footballer or anything. Was never premeditated. I probably premeditated to be physically and tackling and be strong and just to show Cork, not Nicholas Murphy, but to show Cork that they were playing a different team that they played 3 months ago, that we were totally, totally different animal. And that's what I meant by it in the book. And I think with the extract itself taking in the paper, you know what I mean, it kind of put me in a lot of hot water, because it never included the next two lines of the book where it says, you know, I never intentionally went out to injure any person or hurt any player, but I wanted to make a statement. And that was the next two lines of the book, was never part of the extract that was taking out. Never in my life if I went out to intentionally hurt someone. Yes, I probably regret being so honest in it, in the way that I'd said it in the actual book. It was probably a thing that, looking back now,
you know, the honesty side of it was misunderstood, I suppose, in the way that I'd wish I'd never said it, you know what I mean? I wish I'd said, you know, I came in and I hit Nick Nisbet to the shoulder, you know, and that was it.
Did he quote you verbatim in the book, Tiger? You were happy with the way he quoted you?
No, I'm not. Look, I think at the time, you know, obviously it was a Wednesday after All Ireland, and you know that cop that I suppose is very much in an Australian term, and I suppose that's where he kind of took it upon himself. Yes, I would have said we're a totally effing animal this time, you know what I mean? Because I wanted to show that the Cork, you know, we're a totally different animal. But I suppose that's the problem when you got someone from a different culture writing the book.
It probably is. You see, when you mentioned in that how you looked across at Paul Gallivan, like, yeah, people take, and naturally enough you can take it, that it was premeditated. You must look at it from that point of view. Was it premeditated, Ty?
No, it wasn't. And I'm laughing at it because I roomed with Paul, you know, the night before again, and I've roomed with Paul all year.
Yeah.
And I'd said to Paul, you know, look, I'm going to be physically, you know, I'm going to really be in their faces, I'm going to be tackling, I'm going to be chasing. I never once said to Paul, I'm going to charge in off the line and I'm going to hit Nicholas Murphy a shoulder. You know, that's crazy stuff. Why would I want to do that at the first million dollar final? I get sent off, carried on to 14 men. Are you crazy? Like, that's not, I'd never want that for anything to happen.
Do you think you should have been sent off?
Look, when it happened at the time, I actually thought it was fine. You know, shoulder and, you know, Nicholas turned into me and I actually slowed down. And he came into me, he turned into me, and I turned into him shoulder, and I thought at the time everything was fine, it was perfect. I talked to Nicholas straight after the game in the players' lounge, you know, and everything was fine. You know, I talked to Nicholas, you know, that was grand. Like, we talked about it and I said it was perfect. It was fine, you know, it was a shoulder. But looking at it in the tape and obviously in the video in slow motion, you can see I did clip him in the chin. But I actually thought at the time when it happened, you know, I got him shoulder to shoulder, he turned and he came down into
me. Are you lucky you weren't sent off?
Probably from the footage, yes, but from the play, it'd be very hard for him to see what happened in actual normal motion. But looking at it in the video, I was very, very lucky.
The result of the whole thing, Tiger, by the way, when did you give that interview to finish up the book? I presume it was over the phone, and I presumed, what's the ghostwriter's name?
Scotty Gallen.
Scotty Gallen. I presume Scotty Gallen was in Australia. You were on, when did the interview happen then, and what kind of a condition was Ty Kinnelly in after winning in All-Ireland?
Yeah, look, it's hard, which I don't want to excuse what happened, you know, as well. It happened on the Wednesday after the All-Ireland. Yes, I was hazy, and yes, it was a case of getting a deadline and getting the book out as quick as I could. It was done over the phone while I was in the car, and look, that's it. I'm not gonna excuse it. It's in the book, and that's it. Yes, I was hazy, but like I said, you know, I don't want to excuse what's in the book.
Yeah. Have you been surprised? Have you been disappointed? And, I mean, there's no doubt, I mean, the fallout for it has been tremendous. I mean, we're talking about just how many lines, about 8 or 9 lines out of the whole book. The fallout has been huge. And the remarks passed in the papers and things in relation to you and things like that have been absolutely scurrilous in many ways, about however people are entitled to their opinion. But what has it done for you, Tig, and what has it done for the family? And how serious has it been to you? And as a person, are you disappointed?
Yeah, I'm extremely disappointed to the reaction, I suppose, Wishy. Look, it's tarnished my All-Ireland, and that's the truth about it. I was very, very disappointed with the reaction, and that's why it's been so long since I've come out and said anything to it, because I was extremely disappointed. You know, I got phone calls to home, got hate mail, and it was very, very hard to take, because I'd given up so much to come back, and I'd given my whole year was all about winning an All-Ireland for Kerry, and it was extremely, extremely tough on me the last couple of weeks, and like you said, people are fine and they can have their opinions, you know, but please read the book, you know, before you judge me, and don't judge me on an extract from a newspaper, you know, and that's all I'd say to people, because I never once in my life premeditated anything in a football field.
Would your family have suffered, Tyke?
Yeah, definitely, and I never would want to tarnish the Kinnelly footballing name and the memory of my father, you know, that's the last thing I want to tarnish, and my mom especially, you know, I suppose getting phone calls home was very, very difficult to take. And of course, the last thing I want to tarnish is Kerry football, or GAA in general. You know, it's that's not the way Kerry football's played, and it's not the way I play Kerry football, to go out and premeditate people. And that was so hard for people to actually think that I'd do something like that. And I took it very, very, it was very, very hurtful at the time when it was happening, because I couldn't believe people actually thought that I'd go and do something like that.
It was your own decision to go in from the start and to, as a fella said, lay down a marker, which you did. That wasn't premeditated in the dressing room or anything?
No, not at all. And it was It's a late on a marker, but it wasn't a late on a marker in the first second to hit Nicholas Murphy. It was a case of, I got an opportunity in the game in the first 15 minutes to be physically strong, to shoulder someone, to tackle like a lunatic, basically, you know what I mean? I wanted to be in their face. I didn't want to, it wasn't a case of charging, hit Nicholas Murphy, but that opportunity happened in the first 10 seconds of the game, you know? It was never premeditated I was going to go in and hit someone. I know how lucky we are to play an All-Ireland final. I'd never want to take that away from any footballer. Not even if he's Cork man, but I'd never want to take that away from any footballer. I know how lucky we are to play in All-Ireland final.
Has any of the Cork team been in contact with you?
Yeah, they have. Look, I rang Nicholas Murphy, obviously, after what happened on the Tuesday, and I was trying to explain, look, that was totally out of context. It was totally blown up. And I talked to Graham Kenty, you know, during the All-Stars, and I'd be very good mates with Graham. And I'm good mates with Nicholas and Graham through the international rules. And they know me as a character, I think, and that's where I'm happy at. And I think out of the whole lot, I suppose, I was trying to get strength out of the people that knew me, knew that wasn't the type of person that I was.
Were you disappointed, Ty, with Kerry people's reaction to it? What was, I don't know, you'll have to say it, walking around and playing matches and meeting people and people ringing you up. From the Kerry side of it now, what was the reaction?
Yeah, look, I found it difficult, I suppose, because, like I said to you, I'd worked so hard for Kerry people to win an All-Ireland medal and to do everything and to leave so much behind me. I felt very, very hurtful. And the reaction, like I said, was disappointing. I basically hid for 4 days, you know, with work. I didn't go out. I was supposed to do a couple of things with development squads, and I didn't want to meet parents because I didn't want them thinking that this is what Tyconelli is coaching kids. I'm not, and I was very, it was very, very hard for me to take.
Were you sick in the pit of your stomach?
Yeah, I was, and I said it in my statement that it was probably the hardest thing I've had to deal with since my father passing, and that's the God's honest truth, because it was so, so difficult for me to leave the house. I didn't want to go outside the door, and it was very, very difficult for me, and look, Kerry people and people in general are entitled to their own opinions, and that's fine, but I can deal with it myself, but people calling home and stuff was very, very hard to take.
When you held up your hands, Ty, you came out. Do you think you left your statement a bit too late? You're here with me now this evening, and we're chatting about the whole thing. Do you think that maybe if you had come out straight away when this happened and maybe appeared on television and radio and things like that, did you?
Personally, no, because I was too hurtful at the time, and I wanted to let people say what they wanted to say without actually reading the book or hearing my side of the story, and that's what I was so surprised. That people were so quick to judge me without hearing my side of the story or without hearing my statement or anything about it. And that's what I was more disappointed about, that people actually started jumping on this bandwagon or judging me before ever hearing any side of my story, you know?
Yeah, well, for what it's worth, Tig, I never saw you injuring anybody or going out deliberately, and I followed your career closely. And you weren't the first Kerry man, and you won't be the last Kerry man to hit a man in the field. And not alone a Kerry man, but a man from any other county. Indeed, I have stood in dressing rooms and I've had people give instructions to go out and stop them well out the field and don't let them and pull them down continuously and stuff like that. However, having it come out in the book when it's written down and it's down in black and white is very hard to retract. So, finally, what would you say to people listening now this evening about what you said and about not coming out about it, Tig, finally?
Look, if anyone knew my character as a person, you know, it's something I would never ever do, and it's something I would never ever premeditate. I'm totally, totally a footballer, and it's something that Dad instilled in us, myself and Noah, was to always go at the football and always go at the ball. And it's something that I hope people understand, the people that don't know me, that I'm not that type of footballer, and nor is Kerry football. Yes, Kerry football is hard and physical and skillful, but it's not part of Kerry football. It wasn't part of Jack Connor's plan. It wasn't part of my plan. It wasn't part of Paul Galvin's plan. The plan was to be physically strong and to put pressure on Cork to show them that we were a different team. But yeah, like I said, anyone that doesn't know me, I hope that they don't take it away that I'm a person that goes out premeditating injured players. It's something I don't do.
You think, Ty, that maybe people in general and the general population don't understand the tremendous pressure that players are on, amateur players going out in an All-Ireland final? You're an amateur, even though you had been a professional, but you're now, and that you're out there and you're a role model, and that do you think people don't realise exactly where you were coming from at that precise moment?
Definitely. Look, the game of Gaelic football now, I think, especially so media driven, that media people in general treat Gaelic footballers like they're the rugby players, like they're the soccer players, that they're professional. And when you're professional, people are saying things about you like that, that's fine, because that's your job. You can do that. You can take that on the chin, no problem, because that's part and parcel of your job. But when you're an amateur and you're giving up so much time and so much, leaving your family, so much work to train 3 or 4 nights a week, I found out how hard and difficult it was myself this year. I was leaving home at 4 o'clock in the evening. I wasn't getting back at 10 to go to Clarny 3 or 4 nights a week and do my weights and whatnot on top of that. And I found out how difficult it was. And I think people in general start putting Gaelic footballers in the same league as rugby players, professional rugby players, the Munster players, or the Irish soccer players, or whatnot, when we're not. And yes, there's a lot of pressure on these type of players when you're playing in an All-Ireland final, you know. And that's probably the biggest thing about playing with Kerry, because there's so much experience that to being able to deal with this type of pressure. Obviously, it was my first All-Ireland final, and I was extremely emotional, extremely, extremely uptight about the whole occasion. But I vividly remember to myself thinking at the time what my father had often said to me about big games: always soak it up and always enjoy the occasion and don't let it pass you by. And it's part of what I do now when I play big games. I always relax and try and stay relaxed. But again, the whole emotion of the occasion.
After what you've spoken about there and about how it affected you and your family, are you sorry you came home?
No, I'm not sorry I came home, no. Look, the last 2 weeks have been extremely tough. Like I said to you, it was the toughest time I've had since my father passed. But the year itself has been fantastic. The whole incident, yes, it is for myself personally, is tarnished winning an All-Ireland medal for myself, because I just felt so hurtful. You know, I was in such a high from winning an All-Ireland, you know, and I'd won the All-Star on the Friday night. I was over the moon, and then the last 2 weeks, everything was just taken away from me.
Did you get an opportunity, Tadhg, before that part of the book was added to what you had done? You didn't read it.
No,
big mistake, Tadhg.
Yeah, I was very inexperienced. Look, I think the whole lot of it, obviously, it was done on the Wednesday. The interview was done on the Wednesday, and the book was out on the Friday, was finished on the Friday, and it's something I'll never forget.
Is there any man born yet, a woman, that didn't make a mistake? Do you ever meet him?
No, I'd like to meet him. Like, shake his hand.
Finally, I saw you playing with Listowel Limits last Saturday. You beat Spa outside in Spa, and you were flying. But do you think the incident and the after effects has affected the way that you play a game of Gaelic football now, and will it affect your career in the future?
Definitely. I definitely think so. I think even playing the games now, since I've played, you know, I played Ballyduff, Knockout Championship, just people's comments and stuff as well. And
are you getting comments playing?
Yeah, I'm getting comments, and I'm getting
racist
comments. I would like to say, you know, but it's fine. Look, I'm able for it, you know, and I made the mistake, and that's fine, you know, but I wouldn't want it to affect the rest of my career as a Gaelic footballer, because I'd say a couple of things, you know, it's something I don't want to happen.
Tadhg, you're not the first, or you're not the last Gaelic footballer went out and did something like that. It's going to happen again, and it will happen again. We're going for a short break. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
In conversation with Rishi Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Yes, indeed. You're very welcome back to the final part of the programme. Tadhg Kennelly is my guest in studio this evening. This is a pre-recorded programme. We're not taking phone calls. And we're talking about Tadhg's book, Unfinished Business. He's in the Killarney Bookshop Friday at 1 o'clock. Bring along your kids and bring along your camera. He's in Easton's in Blanchardstown in Dublin on Saturday the 7th at 1. And he's at home in Wolfe's in Listowel on Wednesday the 11th at 4 p.m. Tadhg, the one thing that runs through the book more than anything, and it's lovely to see an international star like yourself wearing his hat on his sleeve, you still haven't got over your father's debt. Your father, and who I consider him a great friend of mine, and I have great admiration for him, his shadow is in all through the book.
It is. Look, my father inspired me. Simple as that. Inspired myself and all throughout our career. Everything I ever did or still do is for my father. And the whole year itself was dedicated to my father and to winning an All-Ireland medal, because it's something I've always wanted to do, because I always wanted to be my father. And that's I suppose, the whole thing, the whole book, you can see, you know, a lot of people have said that, you know, as long as you're around, your father will be here with us.
And is that why Tadhg, I feel myself that the reason why you're so hurt about what has been written and said about you, you feel you have sullied your father's name.
Yeah, I have, and I said that in the interview, you know, or in my statement, that, you know, I'd never ever want to do anything to sully my father's name.
Father was a tough man to feel, Tadhg.
Yeah, he was tough, and he was hard.
I tell you, he was tough.
He was a tough
hard
father, too.
He could be dirty when he wanted that. Let's be fair about it. He was a great Kerry footballer, but he was some operator.
Yeah, he was, and look, he was a tough father, too, but never once would he ever say, go out and belt someone a belt with shoulder and chin a minute before an Ireland final. You know what I mean? That wasn't his way. Yes, he was hard. Yes, he was tough. But and that was, I suppose, like you said, it was probably the hardest thing to take over the last few weeks because I didn't want to damage his name or the family name.
You've cried yourself to sleep in Australia. There were days that you described you had the black dog on your shoulder. You weren't happy for a long time.
No, look, I think wish I was really depressed for my first five months of the year there.
Yeah.
I was very, very depressed. I was there on my own. The one place I felt comfortable growing up was on the football field. That was taken away from me. My family was taken away from me because I was on the other side of the world. So I had no one. I mean, I was very much alone in a country, culture I knew nothing about. And it was very, very difficult, but I got through that stage and obviously continued on. And I suppose the next part of it was when Dad passed and coming back to Australia, making the decision, would I come back after Dad passed? And it was probably the hardest thing I will ever do was leave my mom at the airport that night.
Your mother never wanted you to go away. She tried to stop you from the first day that you went, but even though you were banging doors around the house and you wanted to go away, will your mother find it difficult to let you go back if you make the decision this time, Craig?
Yeah, we've had a few rough conversations about it in the last couple of days.
She wants you to stay.
Yeah, it's been difficult, but I suppose we've got to sit down and just talk it through, you know, and iron out everything that needs to be ironed out about it. It's difficult to talk about these things, I suppose, because your emotions get in the way.
Tig, I want to thank you sincerely for coming in and talking to me so candidly about your book. You're in the Killarney Bookshop on next Friday at 1 o'clock and then you're in Easons in Blanchardstown at Saturday the 7th at 1 p.m. and you're in Wilson Listowel at your home then at 4 o'clock. It's Tig Kennelly, The Unfinished Business. There's much more than about that incident with Nicholas Murphy, I can tell you. It's a tremendous read and well done, Tig. And come here, the best of luck to you anyway. And you and all other footballers that have to put everything behind them, I mean, there was no one die yet or anything. It was unfortunate, and I suppose it was you learned from it because you made a few bad mistakes in what you said and when you didn't say it and stuff like that. So you learned, right?
Exactly. Look, it's something I've learned a whole lot about life, I suppose, in general. And thanks for having me in here, Wishy. You're doing a lot of work for Gaelic football in Kerry and in Ireland, so fair play, and thanks very much for having me.
From Tralee to the Blaskets, from Lixnaw to Kilgarvan, your voice in the kingdom, Radio Kerry.